is a vibe with five, and you already know this.
England, man.
Yeah.
We can't talk to you without talking about England. Big championships coming up in the summer. Have we got a chance? France are the only threat, surely.
I'd say on paper, yeah. But you know what it's like to flipping go to a tournament with pressure, with the team that we've got, and not really do something. I think it'd be a shame, because I think probably rather than your generation of the golden generation, this is probably the closest thing I felt as a being in the squad. I was in the squad when you was there. So being in from when you was there to now, this is the closest I feel that we've come to, you know, making that step in that right direction.
You just said you were in the squad when I was there. Mm. I was obviously a dinosaur getting old then, right? What's the differences?
What year was this squad, by the way?
2010, 9.
So what's the difference?
Glenn, you always used to sit down the far end. Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, he was like down the far end, and he was.
Was this back in the day when it was all the big cliques and everyone like at prison looking at each other?
For me, it was hard coming into that team. Capello was the manager.
There was no butter,
there was no tomato sauce. So it was hard coming to that team because there was like me and Jack Wilshere as the young ones, and I didn't really know Jack because he was a couple of years below me. So I was on loan at Villa and I got the call up. So even though I was a Tottenham player, I didn't even know the Tottenham lads that well. So I was like with Ashley Young and M. Heskey, he was there, and I think even Nigel was in the team actually at the time, and I just kind of congregated with them. But you know, it was like at the Grove, I was in that room 197. I promise you, the TV was there in your bed, and it was like there, and it was, I just felt alone. I don't know. I felt
it wasn't a warm squad, like
no,
it feels warm now.
No.
It feels like you're all
it's class now. It's class.
Is it?
It's unbelievable.
Is it?
It's you so
like you look like you're bouncing in to get there rather than looking to get home.
I can't wait to meet up.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to meeting up.
How's that come about then? The manager?
I think it is, definitely. 1,000,000%.
Wow.
I think it all clicked at the Russia World Cup. And normally it would eat food, go to your room, that was it, done. But then it was the time when Fortnite was coming out. People were just leaving the doors open.
Is it?
Yeah, and we were just all playing like little teams. You know, you'd be in your teams and you chuck in the group who won first. So it was who could get the most wins in a couple of hours of playing. But then as soon as like we started integrating like everyone in the team, that was it. It was just, it's unbelievable.
It's so mad you say that, because even at our time at United, SOCOM and FIFA were huge in terms of generating a nice, good environment for everyone to be in. We used to have like 12, 14 players sometimes playing one game.
Yeah.
To be like, what the heck? Like all together, arguing.
Yeah.
I mean, banter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, when Germany won the World Cup, was it Brazil they won, wasn't it? Did they win in Brazil? I think they did, didn't they? They went in 2014.
Yeah, they did.
One of the things that they were saying is that they purposely went with really sort of Spartan accommodation, and they had like foosball tables and table tennis. And the lads were saying, like, before the first game, they all had blisters because they was all playing table tennis barefoot in the camp. But it brought the whole squad sort of together, rather than people going on the phone in the room. There was no internet. Like, you're not getting in. So they all played table tennis together.
No, these boys want five-star accommodation now. Don't trust me. You don't want to be there Spartan.
Yeah, but I think that's what's so... Because you go in there and, you know, it's like England. You can't go anywhere. So you can't just like say, okay, I've finished training now, that's it, I'm afternoon off. I'm going to go, even now we can't go cinema. I know before you was allowed to go to the cinema, like you go cinema and then go, but we can't because you can't now. You can't
now. We used to go to cinema and get mad ready sorted popcorn, jumbo, sausage.
We go JCB, we're allowed to go JCB, golf course. But then,
what is it?
If the lads don't play golf, what you're doing, you're just sat in that Hilton in the SGP the whole time. So to create a good environment, I think is massive. Like, to be fair, Ruth and Emily do a fantastic job with like the latest movies coming out. They're getting the popcorn people. So because we can't go out anymore, it's like, oh, bring the cinema to us. So they're bringing like the latest movies out, and like we watch Top Gun and stuff like that, and they'll bring the popcorn So lads are like queuing up, and then they'll do little like ice cream trucks or sweet trucks for us as a treat, which is it's good, but it's sad. It's sad. It's I think it's just the way the world is now, isn't it?
We used to bring in like comedians and things, people like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'd bring in like comedians to do like a night in front of the lads. Hard gig for a comedian, mate, with us like 25 sober lads just sitting there waiting to be entertained. Hard, man. A few of them died, man.
That's when you discovered what's his name? Like Gavin and Stacey.
James Corden.
James
no,
Corden.
No, not from that. But who's the other guy?
No,
who's the
Scouser?
Ian Bishop.
Yeah. John Bishop, come, mate. Seriously.
Yeah.
Hard gig, man. And he's a top comic, but even he was having a sweat up. Serious. So I've seen, obviously, you play with Phil Foden. I've got to go there, right? How is he best to fit in this England team?
Real wants you to say he can play in the eight, basically. That's what he wants to say.
But I didn't say that, did I?
Am I wrong now?
No.
You're asking me some questions. Dude,
I'm not telling you to leave anyone out. I'm just saying, where do you think he's best deployed to cause the most damage in an England shirt?
Your opinion.
I'm Phil's biggest critic, and I'm Phil's biggest... I'll praise him, because I think, I've said it before, the best young player I've ever seen, ever. Throughout, you know, that'd be Harry Kane. Ryan Mason, I think, was unbelievable, you know, when he was at Tottenham. Mm-hmm. John Bostock, Dean Parrott, all these players that have come and kind of fell off. He's the best by far. Best by far.
Rio rates him highly. He's been saying he's in the conversation for being world class. In the conversation.
Not this.
Obviously,
again.
No, but it's the truth. Like, that's what you've been saying, right?
Why do you
in the conversation.
At? I'm not laughing at the fact that he might be world class, because he might be. I'm more him bringing up this whole thing. Because we've had the last 2 weeks, Rio said, I don't even know what you actually
get it
said
right, get it right.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what? No, I don't know.
It felt
about
us.
Saka and Foden.
Right.
And do you
our,
what
our
did
fan
you actually
base,
say?
It yeah. felt to us.
Arsenal fans.
It felt to
started
us.
Started crying.
Yeah, no, we weren't crying. We just felt like Saka deserved the same respect, because he's done even more than Phil for me internationally. And obviously what he's done for us, he's carried us for the last couple of years. I was going back and forth with Rio, and it's not that he was putting down Saka, but he was just saying that Phil's in the conversation for world class. And I'm like, well, if he is, then so is Saka. Or if he's not, then Saka isn't either. Like, I just feel like they're a little bit more like this.
Okay.
And I know you just said that Phil's the, even then when you said he's the best young player that you've ever played with, I thought, really?
No, 100%.
Okay.
100%, but I think B is incredible. I think B is very good as well. As a direct winger, is very, very, very good. And I think for what he's done for England at such a young age,
ridiculous.
You know, his stats are very good for England.
He's best player for the last 2 years running award.
Yeah, probably rightly so. Rightly so. Who votes for that?
You tell me.
I don't know.
It's the fans. Arsenal fans. No, I said that Phil's in the conversation. I think what Phil's doing right now in this league now, for a team that's fighting to win the league, that's so successful with such...
Did you have to say it before the derby though?
What?
Did you have to say it before the derby?
Have to say what?
About what you said about him. Because he just went, watch this.
No, I just feel that he's... Also, this season, he's doing it in and around now, Haaland. Mm. In and around Kevin De Bruyne, when Kevin De Bruyne was on the pitch. When they were both off the pitch as well, took the mantle, took it by the horns and said, like, put this on my back as well, creativity-wise. So I think he's pushed himself even further into that conversation.
I feel what's gave him... I might be wrong, but that's what I feel, is that when Riyad went, you know, that was a pathway for him to say, okay, I can actually, you know, take this now. Mm. Where, you know, before he was kind of starting a few. And I've been with him since he was 17. So I've seen him come through and, you know, turn into a man. But when you set these standards, you have to keep them up. Mm. So... Like you've just said there, B's done it for a considerable amount of time now. Phil's now getting the opportunity to go and do that. But when you're putting in these numbers, they've got going to have a lot of expectations and, you know, weight on their shoulders, which I think it's a collective. I think it's a collective for the national team, and we all have to carry it. But you know, people are going to want to demand, you know, that form going into the Euros.
Mm. Where would you put him in the team? If you was going to play him to get the best out of Phil, the Phil that you know, where do you play him in the team?
I like him in the middle. Mm. I do like him in the middle, especially for
8 or 10.
10, especially for how I think he could benefit England with, you know, I think you've got obviously B. I think Declan being at Arsenal now is massive. Mm. In not saying that he's not a very, you know, a good player at West Ham, but knowing. Mm. You know, the how to possession based football. I think we got to certain phases, especially Russia when Tripp scores, and then Euros when Luke Shaw scores, we score too early.
Mm. And don't control the game.
Where now I feel, especially in the last two fixtures, we scored, we was winning, and we played in their half still.
Mm.
Where before it was kind of like we scored Russia against Croatia and then they just ran over us with experience. And then Italy as well, it was just, all right, just hang on and pray. But once you get that many corners and that many good attacks with international players, they, you know, it's sod's law that we haven't conceded. I think we conceded one goal in God knows how many games from a set play, and that was in, you know, the most important game.
Is that the difference going into this tournament? The way you manage games now, when you get into good positions against the best teams.
Yeah. Because if you don't do that process, if you start making a transitional game, you might flip a coin and see what happens.
You're saying about obviously the togetherness, etc., and you're discussing things as a team.
Mm.
Who takes that mantle now? Like, I know there's the coaches and stuff like that, but when it comes to the players, who are like the seniors who speak?
Well, obviously Harry has a say. He likes to have his say in, you know, what's going on. If something's not right, he always, you know, come and talk to me. Mm. You don't want training, or we as a group, we don't decide that this is beneficial for us, then I'll be the first one to put my hand up and say. I think Maguire, Henderson, a big, you know, voices in there where, you know, the lads lean on them. Mm. I'd probably put myself in there. I kind of sit at the back. I'm never at the front. I'm always at the back.
Chipping it in at the back.
I just listen because everyone can start speaking when things are good. Like when you're down or when your confidence is down, that's when I like to hear you more, because I think that shows character.
Mm.
Everyone can talk when they're playing well.
You've changed, you know, because not to say that I knew you like personally and stuff like that, but when I would see you at Spurs, you sounded like you weren't as confident. But I see now, when I see you shouting at the players, and I've noticed it mostly from last season, obviously it comes with growth, but like, do you notice that in yourself as well? Like,
yeah, I think it's down to maturity. It's down to maturity, and I feel that I've, you know, played enough. I think I'm probably near 400 Premier League games now. Jeez. So I've played enough to feel confident in myself that I can voice my opinion where people aren't saying, who's this busy idiot, you know, trying to talk to me. It's like, okay, I'm going to speak now. And then if you listen, you listen. If you don't, I'm not saying it because, I'm actually saying it because I love you. So if I talk to you, it's because I like you.
Mm.
And if I don't talk to you, it's probably because I just can't be honest with you.
You know what? My last question with England is, we can't talk to you, our player, now without actually mentioning Jude Bellingham.
Mm.
How important is he going to be for you guys to win? And what is he?
He's a freak. The athleticism on him to go from box to box, I think he's an all-rounder. He can defend, he can attack. He's got skill. He's got a shot on him. You see the goals that he's producing. I feel that the confidence to go to Madrid at his age and do what he's doing, You don't do it, do you?
What's that, Zidane's number?
Do you know what I mean? If I signed that, I wouldn't be doing this. But I think that's the kids these days, we'll call them kids, but young men these days, that they've got a confidence about them. Erling, They've got a confidence about them and an arrogance that I wouldn't want it to become too much, where it's like, okay, you're a bit of a, don't want to speak to you now.
Mm.
But he's lovable as well.
Mm.
And I think that's what makes him, you know, he's a brand, and I wish him nothing but success unless he plays against Manchester City.
He said he's been in Spain for how long? 2 or 3 months?
Oh, you're shouting Vamos. Didn't like that.
Vamos?
No, yeah, didn't like it. Yeah. Didn't like it.
You not hammered him for that?
Yeah.
I could see there was truth in that.
It's a PR stuff. Yeah. he's trying to get some sort of deal out there. I don't know what he's doing. Yeah.
He ain't going to struggle for it.
You want to see him on goal a game? Don't worry about the deals coming.
Crazy. The pic I see the other day with him and Zidane, no words on it. Was enough. You seen that one?
No.
I think it's Adidas. Him and Zidane just sitting, chilling, like the handover. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But, so England are going to win the...
Is he the X factor, do you think, then, for the Euros?
I think there's a few, like you've just said there. I think Harry's goals are always going to be important. B, Phil, Jude. You look at the, you know, we'll say the strikers behind Harry. Ollie's flying at Villa.
Quality.
Tony is a great threat to have. Even players like Callum Wilson, it's a different dimension. And then I think it's down to us at the back, really. You know, if we bring our A game, I think you can kind of leave them up front to kind of go and do the magic. But they've got to bring this form into the big stage, you know, for the nation. You know, we're all right doing it for the club and everything, but you've got to do that again in the summer. And, you know, that it's that restart to go again, isn't it? You know, like, right, you get a couple of days off where you go on holiday and chill out, and then you're thinking, oh, I've got to go back there then. But to actually, they won't know until it's done. And I'm at that end of the career now where, yeah, one more chance. I said to everyone after the World Cup, I was done.
Change room?
No. I said to Gareth, and I've openly said that in an interview, that, you know, I did want to stop international football.
Why? Because
one, I think the competition, you know, to let the other ones come through and everything, I felt it was probably, you know, the time. And I wanted to spend time with my family, because being away, I think my first 3 years at City, I think about 4 weeks holiday in the first 3 years, because I was coming back for the Community Shield, because I never won the Community Shield. I want to play in that, want to try and win that, want to be involved in that. And I didn't really get any time to spend, and like we were just saying there off air, like, you know, them couple hours that you get with your kids driving them to football, I wanted more of that. Mm. I did want more of that. But also as well, I feel that I still had something to give. So that's why, you know, Gareth and me had a sit down conversation and a chat, and he said, you know, I still feel that you got loads to offer. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I quit and they go and flipping win something, I'll never live it down.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got to go again in this tournament, hopefully.
I want to talk to you about right backs, historically, current and worldwide, how the positions change, how it's evolved, what you might see it going next. All of that I want to touch. So let's rank them. Premier League, where'd you put yourself? Rio's got you at number one. I'm not mad at it, I'm going to be honest. I think it's you and G-Nev.
Wait, before you start, yeah, do you look at it and look around at right backs around the world and go like, I can't have him being considered better than me. That's part of almost like your fire in your belly a little bit sometimes. Because that's how I was.
Yeah, of course. Of course you compete with people in your position that play for other clubs. Of course you do. And you look at them and think, you know, there's no, you know, I'm better than him at that, or he's better than me at that. But I always go down to, I've been now at this level since 20 when I played for Aston Villa. So I've been playing Premier League now since I was 19, 20. I'm 33 and I'm still here. People that I was comparing myself to before when I first started was Aspilicueta, Hector Bellerin, Kleine was coming on the scene, but there was so Glenn Johnson when I first joined at England with you. Glenn Johnson was there. So I've kind of come through all of that generation. Now this generation of right backs, it's crazy. Mm. It's mental.
England's got a lot on it.
Yeah.
Stacked.
Yeah, it's mental. Like when you go from Trent to James.
Talk to me about, give me a little bit about each of them, please. Just from a right back's perspective, was interesting. That interest me. How does a right back see the others? Like Trent, for instance, what?
Trent is a quarterback at right back. And I've never seen anyone pass a ball like him. You know, left, right foot, snow on it where it needs to have snow on it, or ping, you know, straight to the chest. I think, obviously, the way Liverpool, where it's very, you know, transitional. You know, German manager, it's a process to get up to the goal or to where you can score. But, you know, Liverpool are very direct with their football. I'm not saying it's a long team, long ball team, but, you know, Salah, when you've got Salah on the right-hand side and you're whipping that ball down his right-hand side, you know, that's what Trent's, you know, very, very good at. I think people come at him for defending, but people can come at me for my crossing. Let's just say that. I don't think, you know, anyone's going to really have the finished article. I think he's improved massively on his defending, but I think it comes with age as well. You know, he's not at my age and he's still got a lot to learn in the game. But I think that will come. You know, he's always in training, you know, wanting to learn and everything like that. So I think with experience, that will definitely come. Reece James, I think, is unbelievable. Crossing, attacking, defending, strong. You know, got a very, very good brain on him, I think, from playing in centre midfield. Midfield, Wigan. I think it was. Yeah, was it Wigan? Yeah.
Wigan, he
played. Wigan, yeah. So they're playing there. He sees the game a little bit different as well. So for me, you know, very good. And then Trips, again, I think very, very similar to Trent. You know, them two don't really, as you say, for like me and Reece, we'll probably go on an overlap every couple of, you know, times I get the winger gets the ball, but they like to sit behind, receive it from behind and put the crosses in from deep. But I think we're just all playing to our strengths, and for, you know, England, for Gareth, it's a good problem to have with so many good right backs at, you know, his disposal.
Are there any others in the world that you look at besides those three and you go, ooh?
I think Hakim is up there.
But I don't know. I think he's very good. I think he's very, very good to play PSG, Real Madrid and Dortmund. Like, you know, Inter Milan as well. I don't play these teams if you're not a good player. I like to see him up against a top winger, what's running at him, and see what you can do then. I think Carvajal needs, you know, his credit for playing at Real Madrid for that amount of time. You know, I don't think you can discard him. What's the wing back at Bayern Leverkusen, who was at City? Frimpong. Oh my good gosh, how many goals has he scored?
10, he's got double figures, I think, now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
He's not really playing right back though, is he? It's that their system's what, like a 3-2-5 pretty much. He's basically living as a right winger, isn't he?
But he's still doing the job, man. He's on that right side patrolling. So where are you on this? Are you putting yourself top? Are you going like, listen, I'm the guy?
No, I'm going to be humble and put Gary Neville there, I think. Until I've won as many leagues as him.
Premier League history?
Yeah, until I've won as many leagues as him.
Gary Neville does himself a disservice by trying to appear more neutral and dismissing his own career. But I think Gary Neville, I think you and Gary Neville are very, very close to each other. I think your pace is a massive asset. I think his sort of all-round game, reading of the game, I think is a massive asset for him. And obviously the game's altered in a big way.
I think you're being very respectful. I do respect Gary Neville, but in my opinion, there's no competition, mate.
I'm more annoyed at Gary Neville dismissing his career, and it's also disrespectful to Sir Alex to say like he picked some ordinary player for 15, 20 years. Because he didn't, did he, clearly?
No, he's for the titles that he won, for the team that you played in, the players that he played with, to be that consistent for that many years.
Mm. It's getting
to been doing something right.
Pick the armband up nothing, do you?
Yeah.
But he don't give himself the credit he deserves, but he was top player, man. Mm. Top player. I just think you probably showed it the pace and the ability to go 1v1 with the best in the world and back yourself and go, that's me.
Just pace is a massive X factor, I think.
Yeah. Right. Especially in the game today. Pace is
ridiculous. We didn't really see United play. We played a high line, but I think the high line City play now is a high line. I think there's a difference in how high that line gets, isn't it? I mean, you're covering 50 yard plus sometimes, aren't you?
I mean, Aston Villa, I think, do it probably the best, where their line is ridiculous.
And they've got the most offside.
Yeah, they're offside line. I don't know how they do it.
They've got the most offside this season.
It's ridiculously high, but it works for them, and that's what their manager wants. There's risk and reward. I think it helps our midfield because we're pushing them up. You know, we're pushing. Obviously, they're pushing Erling up or whoever's playing up front.
Same as old school. Yeah. It just looks different a little because they're so high and the teams are pressing. But it's the same principles.
Yeah.
If one goes to press the ball, the other three have got to just get in behind and cover the space.
Yeah.
But it just looks different now. How has the position evolved? You're at Sheffield United growing up, and at Spurs. How are the conversations and the managers and coaches coaching you compared to now?
Especially with Pep, as I said before, it's everything is more mentally rather than physically. You look at Tottenham and we played as a five with Toby, Eric and Jan. Mm. And then it was me and Rosie flying up and down the wings. You know, that's where the pace came from, me and Rosie. Then I came here and I said it before, me going to a back three in the World Cup for England, I would not have been able to do it if I didn't have that season at City. Just of understanding the game a little bit better. It's a completely different game. You know, even tucked in, you know, 10 yards, 15 yards inside, I'm not used to having, I turn out and I don't have someone here. So my game is always played this forward, way. Yeah. And I look where I can play it to the winger or something on a straight ball, but 9 times out of 10, that's going to kill him because he's got the defender coming up his, you know, up his arse. But so to come inside a little bit, to kind of have that luxury of, you know what, I've got a pass to my right. Yeah, it actually made it a little bit easier for me because I had a pass to my right where before, if I turn out, I've got no pass there. So I liked it, I enjoyed it. It's something that I wouldn't mind probably later on going back in, but I think that's probably maybe why I'm doing gym now. I need to do a bit
bigger. But what about that rolling inside? And you had a time where you was coming in like Pep, the right back and left back, one of them were going to midfield. What, like even that aspect?
That just come within time of learning. I think me watching Delphi and Zinner go inside helped massively. But I think the manager's been, you know, completely honest and said that he trusts me in a three, so I can play a 2-3 and I can be one of the three in the middle. But he doesn't really like me like a John Stones role or a Kanji role now, where I go in there as a two, which, you know, is his personal opinion.
Is that receiving the ball in the half turn and being able to face the game from where we're back to the left?
I think it's probably that, I think it's probably that.
How much in training did they work on that new role for John Stones before unleashing it? Because it was a little bit of a shock to see him operate so, and this hurts, so fucking good in that role, which does seem, like if I said to Rio right now, you're going to move 20 yards further forward and I want you to try to control the tempo of a game. Do you think you could have done it?
I'd have been nervous, I know that. But it's like he says, he goes into a back three and all of a sudden now he can play wide. There's an extra body to play wide. Makes it easier. But if he's playing right back and he gets the ball, he can't go that way. The angles and everything.
You've gone from just, like
so
the pitches in front of you.
To being able to receive the ball with my back to play.
360.
I don't know how many people behind me, how fast they're coming. That's panic for me because I've never played that position. So John Stones, that's why I give him huge credit because he's doing something that he's never been asked to do and he's done it in Champions League final, semi-finals, big games.
That leads me to a couple of questions actually. Like, first of all, how do you deal with being left out of that? Because even like in a Champions League final, you want to play those minutes, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then secondly as well, you spoke about the system there. What do you say about people that say it's the system that makes you look better than you are than the individual itself? Because I think there's a couple of players I'm looking. At one point, I thought Cancelo's the best in the world. Left, I don't really know what's going on. So there's a few examples of that. I'm not going to go through it.
Definitely, sorry, I should have mentioned him definitely as well in the right backs.
Is it?
Technically, he's the best I've ever seen.
Better than Trent?
Ever seen.
What?
Yeah, ever seen. Inside, outside, how he controls the ball, he's dribbling.
Just going back to yourself, you know, like with the media being so, the voices are louder now. There's more voices, it's louder. And at points in your career earlier on, people would say, oh, he's great going forward, great with a ball, quick as you like, but sometimes switches off defensively. We ain't heard that for a few years now. Why? What's happened?
I'd argue it's gone the other way.
What do you mean?
I think people now rely on you defending more.
It's like my attacking now. But
1v1, he was never the question, I think. You can tell me how wrong. Like it was more just maybe just corner. like switching off maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Concentration.
Yeah.
What's been the change? Because a lot of young players will be in this position you're in now where but he's concentration or he's certain things in their game aren't where they should be. How have you managed to refine your game and eliminate those type of comments?
I think being one of the leaders has helped me, where I'm constantly talking, constantly, you know, helping other players on the field. And, you know, me talking through the game keeps me in the game. I admit I used to switch off and it was probably boredom. It was probably boredom where if the game wasn't happening, you know, on my side or I wasn't overlapping or, you know, it was a comfortable game, I'd switch off. But you switch off for a second against good players, that's when you go and get punished. Always seemed to be against Chelsea or Man United when I think I switched off. Well, it wasn't a switch off, but it was their own goal of the first game of the season, Tottenham. But it was like moments like that in my career when you're on a big stage against a big team. I always seem to, I don't know, like I always think to myself now that I did all right. I thought I did okay at Tottenham and you're seeing players move here, there and everywhere. I thought, like, why wasn't I getting that opportunity to, you know, go elsewhere? Why wasn't a big club, I'm not saying Tottenham's not a big club, but a club that is not, you challenging know, challenging titles, for yeah. titles coming in for me? Could have been my agent. I'm only kidding, Max. But I always thought, but then when City come, I just had to take the opportunity. I had to take it because when the manager comes knocking on, you know, ringing down your phone.
Did he actually ring you?
Yeah, he phoned me.
No way. What's the conversation like then? And what's your reaction?
I was so nervous. So nervous. I remember I was in Portugal and it's come up and obviously got a text saying that, like, this number's going to call you. It's going to be him. And I've called him and he was so nice. Very well, thank you. Yeah, I'd love to join. Yeah.
No way. That's fanboyish.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a beg.
Is it?
Yeah, get me there. I'll walk.
Is it like that even when you get there as well and you start training?
Yeah, I was in awe. I'm still.
Don't managers want that though? You don't want someone that sounds too cool and not ask when you ring them, don't you, shortly?
I don't know. Certain managers might want, you know, a little bit of, you know, authority, or I don't know. But I approached it how I naturally approached it. That was it.
You still got that in awe feeling now, even?
Yeah, he's very good with his speeches and the speeches before the game because he's done it as a player and as a manager. And I think he's done it with great, great teams and great players. So if you can't learn off of him, who am I going to learn off? I think there's him, Alex Ferguson, Wenger, Ancelotti. You know, these types of managers, you want to... every energy or every bit of information you can get, it's just absorb it.
Has there been a speech where you've gone, that one lives in the memory? That sticks, that one. A moment.
I wouldn't say there's been so many. I've been very fortunate to win quite a bit with him. We'll say he's rotated the team, but he actually doesn't think, obviously he might be thinking about the next game. I don't know. He could be thinking about resting people. I don't know. But he actually says, like he said to us in the meeting, that this is the team that I think is the best to win the game. Now, never mind if you think that, you know, these players are resting, they're not resting. You know, I can't go and achieve what I want to achieve with you as a group of players, with 12 players. If not, I might as well just have 12 players, you know, and a few of you that can train and, you know, keep them, you know, sharp. But I need all of you. And for him to do what he's done over a number of years with the players that he's done it with and rotate, you know, call it Pep roulette, don't they? Who's he going to play? But to keep us all happy, I think the lads in the dressing room are a big part of that, you know, making sure that I don't want to see you sulking. We're all good players. We all should be playing. But
is that the job of you guys?
Yeah. 1,000,000%.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Guys like you?
Me, Kev, Ruben. Ruben's really good. Ruben's really good. But I will never knock on his door for not playing, because that's his job. He's got 11 players that he has to pick, and he will do whatever he feels right for the team.
What's if you could give me just like one trait that you go, that's the special standout trait that he's got? Because he's such a successful manager, everyone wants to know what he's like. What would that trait be for you?
What's really surprised me is how much work he actually puts in to not just the training, not just the games, everything. We'll be training sometimes in the morning and we'll get a text, so we get a weekly plan. It's not a month plan, it's a weekly plan, but they can change. Like, I could have a text now saying tomorrow's training. We're training tomorrow. We're actually off tomorrow, but we could be training tomorrow. But he'll say that I haven't had enough time to prepare training. I have not had enough time to, because we have a meeting every day. So every day we have a meeting. 10:45 meeting.
No way, that'd kill me.
Yeah.
How long?
It can vary. It can vary.
Oh, that'd kill me.
Yeah, it can vary.
I'm happy I don't play.
And the room's dark. He likes the room dark. So you've seen some lads, you know, nodding off, you give him a quick nudge.
And he's like PowerPoint meticulous, here's what we're doing.
No, it's from the build-up.
Videos,
just.
I used to fall asleep, bro, I swear to you. Glenn Hoddle, I was a young kid, I was always out. And I'd go to England, like I'd be out on a Saturday night after the game, meet up with England on a Sunday, videos probably start on the Monday night, and I'm in there and it's like meticulous, like videos like Pep. Going through this, that, and the other, and I'll be sitting there thinking, he's gone. And I'll be sitting there, and I might hear someone go, you can't do that. Like, but it is boring, isn't it? I used to find it so boring.
But the room is so hot as well.
Is it?
Yeah, you're just there, and you feel yourself. You know, when he says your name, Kyle, and you're like,
yeah.
No, but I think that's, especially his attention to the detail of everything. You know, not just games, or he doesn't have his coaches doing the training. He does the training.
Is it?
He does everything.
That's a big difference to Fergie. Fergie didn't take one. I don't think Fergie took a session when I was there. A session. Coaches took every session. He was always there, but he never took and directed a session.
See, I've never had anyone take a session.
Other than Pep.
A defending session, maybe if we're moving, like doing a bit of back-four work. Mm. Rodolfo used to take it, but everything else is Pep.
Wow.
The streets want to know about Kevin De Bruyne and Haaland. How good are these boys, and how much have you seen them improve already?
Kevin is a joke. To be able to play behind him for the number of years that I've done, it's been a pleasure. He, we see things, but we don't pass the ball. He sees things and he don't care if he gives it away. He might try a ball 6 times in a game and it don't come off, but he doesn't care about losing it. Right, like, flipping hell, like the team's got to run.
Confidence,
yeah, the team's got to run back, you know, and get the ball back now. But he'll be like, you know what, I'm going to try it. But one of them balls, I think the one ball that summed it up for me was the one that he played against Stoke, where he beat him, I think, like 7-2, and it was for Leroy. And it was like that ball, like
the one round the back of the defence.
It was right round, right around the back. And it was like, you look at that ball, especially as a fullback, and it's like when everyone's stood in the positions in training, you think, I could whip that ball right
because you're in that position a lot.
Exactly. You're thinking, I could whip that ball right across there. But you don't do it. You don't do it. When people are moving as well, like these people, these men are running back to their goal and he's just whipping it. And you've got Leroy just, BB, he's coming through. But he's so good. He's so good. He sees the game a couple of steps ahead of everyone else. You know, he's already planning his next move before the ball's come to him.
Is he the best player you've played with?
David was so good.
David Silva?
Yeah, David was
they
so
good. They all say this. They all say it.
David really? Was so good.
Owen Hargreaves said it.
Because to me, right now, KDB, I put him as the best midfielder that I've seen in the Prem. Like,
All-rounder, Kevin. All-rounder. Yeah. But David, individually. David, or I've said it countless times, Dembele. Moussa Dembele.
This is a scandal.
He's a scandal.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
I think everyone knows Dembele was good. I don't think there's anyone sitting there going,
no, but it's the respect he gets from the pros. Yeah.
The only thing that Dembele didn't have was assists and goals. But everything apart from assists and goals, he was stupid at. He was shouldn't have been allowed.
Could he have played in this Man City team? Yeah,
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%.
He might have needed the Man City team to actually fulfil who he actually really is. Didn't have that structure around him, maybe. Enough structure.
But what was that Spurs team missing, man? Because you go through it 1 to 11 and it's there with the team that was winning titles.
Maybe it's the age, the time and maturity of that team.
I think if we was to stay together in that period for another 2 years, we'd have gone on and won the league.
Really?
Or done something. I think we'd have done something. You're never going to say that as an Arsenal fan, but...
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Even the team was... It was good. Like Hugo in net.
Everyone's gone on and won stuff elsewhere.
Me, Rose, Toby, Jan, Eric. Then you had Moussa or Victor Wanyama was there. Dele. Sonny couldn't get a game. Sonny weren't even playing.
Madness.
Yeah.
Madness.
And then Eriksson.
I forgot Dele was there as well. It's a shame what happened to Dele.
Yeah.
Haaland.
Haaland. How different is he to Kane in your eyes?
Who's better?
They're both unbelievable. I'm going to say they're both unbelievable. I take different things from both of them and make the complete.
Go on then.
Harry's head, Harry's brain, and you know how he's. I think maybe because he doesn't probably have the pace of Erling, where things have to be very precise. But Erling's. You know, just the rawness of him. It's like raw, like he's just so off the cuff. It's like last night, he's probably not, I think he touched the ball once in the, I said I'm going to count how many times he touches the ball. And he touched the one ball like once in, next to like the technical area, once in the far corner as a throw-in. Next time it's a goal. But then to have that mindset that I'm not actually going to touch the ball a lot, but when that ball comes to me, I'm going to put it in the back of the net.
He doesn't lose heart when he does touch the ball. A lot of players lose heart. I'm not getting the ball, moaning. I've searched other parts of the pitch to go and get on the ball. My man's just disciplined. He's just give me a chance, I'll score.
Just let me work inside that area and that's me.
Talking about discipline, Jack Grealish, obviously he's used the words he's boring, but you said he's the closest thing that you've probably known from as Cristiano Ronaldo in terms of professionalism.
1,000,000%.
What's that routine like?
I hammer him daily.
Yeah.
I hammer him daily. He's on the bed.
Huh?
He's on the bed, on the treatment bed. So they've had to buy him. Right. So we're all on these little beds, standard massage bed. He's got like a cushion bed. It's a little bit longer than everyone else's. Yeah.
Wow.
Mario, bless him, his hands must be dead. He's just constantly rubbing him. I said, Erling, like, you're 22. Like, come off the bed, please. Off the bed. And we give him a load of stick for it. Yeah. But he don't mind. He just says, like, listen, I do what I got to do, yeah? And it's like you, like, wheel him out to training. He'll train, come back on the bed for him to go and do what he's done, especially in the Premier League last season. It's your first year in the Premier League. And at the age that he's at 22, it's mental, isn't it?
Listen, man, Carl, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers, thank you.
Not really, but you stay fit.